All right, for the book of Zechariah chapter 8, we got through down to verse number 15 last Thursday. So let's begin by reading verse number 16. Before we do, I want to invite those that are listening to give us emails. We have our email ready, I guess, questions at bstbc.org. Or call us, 856-261-9018, as Dr. Williams has done. And yes, Anna's got one already. Go ahead, Anna.
Pastor and church family, sending you warm greetings from Northern Maine. A special hello to Anne Marie. So glad to see you. Have a wonderful time of fellowship during your visit in Collinsworth. Mm-hmm. God bless each one. Yours in Christ, Colin and Vicki.
Colin and Vicki, yeah. Well, let's wave to Colin and Vicki. Say hello. Everybody's there. You see us? Go ahead. And be sure to wave back. Others, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or your questions at bstbc.org. Yes, Anne, you got that one?
This is from Dr. Williams. Anne Marie, please forgive me for not greeting you. We are glad that you are there with our special friends in Christ and our pastor and his wife. In Christ, H.J. Williams.
Amen. I don't know whether she wants to make any dimensions right now, but she's very short, very tall. In fact, Anna looked at her and says, I didn't know anybody could grow. She said, well, they're shorter than I am. And Anna, she's a small, nice young lady. And I don't want to be too diminutive there. She's a little 4'9", right? And 100 pounds. She's up on a huge, giant bed up in the third floor of our home. What do you call it, Vince?
King size.
King size. And I wonder if she had enough room. But we're glad that she shared this thing with us. Questions at bstbc.org, 856-261-9018. Part, what are the three post-exilic prophets in the Old Testament? Zechariah, post-exilic. Exilic from where? Exile from where?
Babylon.
Okay. Judah and Benjamin, those tribes, exiled from Babylon. How many years were they captive in Babylon again?
70 years.
And why were they in Babylon? Was it a vacation?
No. Punishment.
What were they punished for? What have they done that God did not let?
Idolatry,
worshiping idols, and learning their children to various temas and various other gods that are false. And so Zechariah is a faithful prophet, he's preaching to the people, and this chapter 8 takes us to the millennial reign of Christ. It must have a near fulfillment, but also a far fulfillment when the Lord Jesus will return and take the initial change, especially in verses 9 and following. Let's begin by reading verse number 16, 17, and 18 of chapter 8, Zechariah 8, 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth in his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these things are things I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, by verse number 16, who's going to be speaking these things? Who is this addressed to? Remember, it's the Lord of hosts that is spoken in verse 14.
Israel.
Is he speaking to Israel?
I don't know.
They're to hear the words, but as the Lord of hosts says, who do you think he's going to say, speak ye? Who's going to be the speaking? Who are the spokesmen for the Lord here?
The prophets.
The prophets, which prophet probably especially?
Zechariah, right?
Speak ye, every man through now. But this is a plural, so in addition to Zechariah, the people themselves, Israel themselves, the house of Judah itself, 39, verse 15, speak ye. It's that singular plural. Why?
Because all people are called to preach.
All right. That's right. Why is this ye plural?
Because of the why.
Everything is because of the why, and the King James Bible is a plural. Ye, is it subject of a sentence or the object of a sentence? Ye. Subject
presence.
Nominative. Always a subject sentence. Ye are the light of the world. What about you? Is that subject or object? Always object.
Always object.
Always object.
Always
Unto you is given the behalf of Christ to suffer. See you. But it is the last, more plural, see, not singular, but plural you. And these are the last rules that we have for our King James Bible. So every one of the people are speaking every man the truth. What is the truth and how do you find it?
Jesus Christ, the way and the truth.
Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life.
His word.
At his word. Where do you find his word?
In the Bible.
Which Bible? Any old Bible?
King James Bible.
We have the King James Bible. Very important. I had a question today from somebody from an email about a new version. In fact, two different emails. One in a version of the Aramaic and the Old Testament and New Testament. And we said, what do you think about it? I said, well, from looking at it on the internet, it looks like it's better to stick with a Greek text than underlies the King James Bible rather than this other text that was the Aramaic and the other things. So every man speak the truth to his neighbor. Do people always speak the truth?
No.
What did Paul say about the truth in Galatians? Do you remember?
Have it become your enemy because it tells you the truth.
And I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Sometimes truth does make enemies, isn't that right? Why does that happen? What are some of the things that might make enemies if you speak the truth?
People don't like the truth.
Why?
They can't handle it.
Why?
They want their own truth.
No truth, Jack?
A lot of times we don't want to hear the truth because the truth is a very, it kind of brings out a mirror of ourselves.
Mirror of ourselves?
Can you give an example?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For instance, Dan's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dan,
yes.
His mother made a comment about my shirt. It was just more reserved than she is.
Yes.
She said about the. I didn't notice it myself, but she said it seemed like the person had a cigarette in his mouth. Okay. So what I did is I treated Pastor Dan's mother like I would my mother.
Uh-huh.
I listened to it and I covered the shirt.
I wore
the sweatshirt.
That's right.
Now some people probably wouldn't get mad because they wouldn't want to hear the truth.
Yes.
You know, some people would just want people to say, well, that's just a great shirt.
That's right. So there's different things that people, truth does hurt us. Those that are excessive.
Like it hurts your feelings.
It didn't hurt my feelings, it just corrected me, and I appreciate it, because here I'm not believing in Jesus, I'm saying, I'm different, you may have hurt me like maybe 10 years ago, but doesn't...
Well, that's good, I'm glad you're not mad at me because of your
So what happened is I made a correction, but for a lot of people. When you tell people things, some people just don't, you want to be honest with them, you don't want to be generous.
Right.
And you tell them something that's truthful, that you feel in your heart,
right.
And then you turn around, and an unanticipated consequence happens. They end up becoming your enemy.
Right. And sometimes people that are excessively heavy, 500 pounds, for example, if somebody comes up and says you're fat, sometimes they're offended at that. Some people who have a body odor or something say you stink. Maybe the truth, but it is very offensive.
Another example is doctrine. If somebody's off doctrinally,
yes.
Somebody's doing some contrary to the word of God, it's not totally not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it may be a specific teaching, a specific practice,
mm-hmm.
that they're allowing to take place within the confines of a local church, whether it's being corporate worship or something else, but if something is going askew with either a practice of a local church or a teaching of a local church that's contrary to Scripture, or that will lead people away from the Scripture,
mm-hmm.
everything that is done during the corporate worship service should take people closer to the Word of God, rather than distract people from the truth of the Word of God and blur worldliness and spirituality together. You can't blur the two.
Do all
synthesize the world and the church.
Mm-hmm. Do all fundamental Bible-believing Christians agree on what is truth?
No.
No, you don't. Not even doctrinal truth?
No.
See? In other words, those of the hyper-capitalist position, in which we don't agree with, so on, we say that Christ only died for the elect and through the group, but we believe the scriptures teach Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Sometimes when we hear that, they're very angry at that, which we consider to be truth, because they consider that to be error. So it's a real mix-up. No.
People tend to interpret everything through the lens of their own thinking. Even when they're reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible, they're using their own ideas of logic.
Mm-hmm.
So they're interpreting things very quickly. Sometimes we have to slow down and stop, and we have to come back to scripture, the same scriptures later on, and reread them. But at any time, we should always be thinking, what does the Lord expect of me? What is it that he's teaching? If I believe something and the Bible is contrary to what I believe, then I must be wrong. I've got to learn to correct myself and change my ways a little bit. And if other people would listen to the verses in the Bible that way, we probably wouldn't have such diversity of opinion.
Yep. So we have to know the truth, seek the truth, as it says in Scripture. And ye shall know the truth and
people have gotten themselves killed for saying the truth.
Oh, yes, they have.
Especially when it comes to religion.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, the Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they worship the cow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went and told them that that's a false idol, why are you wasting your time worshiping a stupid animal?
Yeah.
They're going to get very angry.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Jews. The Jews sit around and you see them brought up by the wall in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and are in the synagogue, the Orthodox synagogue, so they're waiting for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you tell them that the Messiah is Jesus Christ, yeah. they'll get angry. They'll want to kill you. So the thing is, if you sometimes. People have died for being honest.
Right?
Yeah. Well, the truth is no excuse for insensitivity
no.
to other people. I mean, right. Being a man, you don't just trample them with your words.
Right. That's true.
That doesn't mean that you don't speak out boldly about something you believe,
mm-hmm.
but you can do it without trampling other people.
Yes, that's true. And sometimes it's better to be silent. You know,
different,
I mean,
if somebody asks you a question,
right.
however,
right.
I mean, it's you have to answer, you have to say something.
Yes.
Because it's hard to know what to say when you know you don't agree with the person, but and sometimes you don't always know what they think. Because otherwise you're not being true to what the Lord has revealed to you. And
yes,
that's not true. I was going to say also, I agree with what Tom is saying, and I was going to say that I think that's why we have to take Christ's example and speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we present it any other way, dogmatically, people don't receive that. Because we are designed to receive love, because God is love,
mm-hmm.
God is perfect, and mm-hmm. calls us to be like Him. So,
yeah.
Speak it in love. It's more people, even if they curse you or whatever, or don't believe you or don't want to listen, at least you know that you've done what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to be out into all the world.
Yes. This week I received an email, for example, from a man that said that, what do you think about Doug Stoffer's book on rightly dividing the truth or something of that nature? And he says we can't use anything but Paul's letters. And from Hebrews, even Hebrews, I don't believe Hebrews was written by Paul, but Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 3 John, it's just enough for the church today and for the gospel. And I wrote him back, I said, well, he's what they call hyper-dispensationalism, that's what they have, just following others. I said, that's not proper. This is New Testament truth that Christians can use and so on. But anyway, but the truth, we have different views of what the truth is, right? But we have to find the truth. Does God hold us to examine the truth? Does he want us to learn the truth of the scriptures?
Yes.
He does. And he wants us to search the scriptures. Remember the Lord Jesus, and then you think you have the search the scriptures,
Lord. Study
to show
thyself of truth.
Study to show thyself of truth.
Rightly dividing the
word of truth. What's that called?
Second
Timothy 2:15. That's good.
That's the word about the Bruce gave me when I
came to That's very, very good verse.
That's a good one for me.
Yeah. So, speak to every man the truth. And if you don't know the truth, can you speak it?
No.
You don't know? Well, you don't have to know it. So it's very important. In to his neighbor, Bruce, or those around us, or the neighbors, then says actually the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. It doesn't mean to execute something. That's what it means in this sense.
Carry it out.
We have the three branches of the government in the country. What are the three branches?
Executive,
legislative, and judicial. And the executive carries out, supposedly, what the Congress passes in laws. It doesn't make laws of civil, but carries out allegedly and supposedly. So that's to execute, to carry out truth and peace. Sometimes, does truth always bring peace?
No, it doesn't.
Truth sometimes brings great war, battling and fighting and contention. But in your gates, do the best that you can to do that. Then in verse 17, that's a beautiful verse. What does none mean? N-O-N-E? Nobody. Even in the Old Testament, even if it didn't have it, led to Christ with Calvary, you hadn't been born again, saved like we have in this country, and we have this dispensation. But let none of you do what? Or not do what?
Imagine
evil in your heart. Now that's against the neighbor. Now, first of all, is imagination. How do you get that way? What's imagination?
God gives you an imagination.
Well, God sometimes gives you imagination. What is imagination?
Thoughts,
okay. So it's the thought, the thinking. Does God interested in our thinking?
Yes.
He certainly is. Why do you think he's interested in our thinking?
Because that's where everything begins in the mind.
The thoughts can lead to actions, sinful thoughts, sinful actions. That's the beginning. And
you're supposed to cause every thought counted
to Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I believe this. Yes, the mind in the captivity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the mind is the motherboard of sin.
That's good way of putting it. Now notice, imagine evil. How would you define evil? Does everybody agree what evil is?
No.
Evil is anything that goes against God.
Alright, where do you find that?
Evil, you find it everywhere.
And where do you find you're going against God? Where's your detective force?
Well, you look in the Bible.
The Bible must be the source of comparison. What is evil, what isn't? Do all the people in this world think that the Bible's good? And do they take the standards of the Bible for evil?
No.
They're a law to themselves. They're anarchists. No law at all. But if they execute, it says truth and peace, and then don't imagine evil in your hearts. Oh, that is a good, interesting place not to have evil in your hearts. And imagine is the brain for the heart, which is the source, the brain of the heart, and you get down to the heart, out of the heart, of all these things, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, it's from the heart of man that proceedeth with the sins. Questions at GreatTBC.org, 856-261-901. Give us a call, give us an email, tell us for listening, say hello, greet prisoners, whatever. So, execute evil, judgment and truth and but no imagination of evil in the hearts against his neighbor. Now, let me ask you this. Do we know what's going on? Mm-hmm.
Well,
the
Lord says in our hearts that those that we wicked.
Yeah. Jeremiah 17:9. Yeah.
Our hearts are desperately wicked.
What does
that say to you?
It says that
we're Christians. Without Christ, we can't. I mean, even with Christ, if our hearts are desperately wicked, it can be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
It's
a state of depravity.
All right, how many natures does a Christian have?
How many what?
Natures.
Two.
How many natures does an unsaved person have?
One.
What is the one that they have? Well, that you and I had before we were saved.
The old
nature. The flesh. What was the nature of the Christian have?
The
nature and his new same spirit.
Your flesh, so evil. Now let me ask you this. Can you imagine evil in your hearts against your neighbor where no evil exists, friends? Is it possible to do this? Do you know what's in the heart of your neighbor?
No.
Do you know what's in the mind of your neighbor?
God.
What is it?
No one knows the heart of man but God.
Only God. He knows. He's an inspector general of our hearts, of our minds. In fact, even the thoughts before we think it, never Psalm 139. He examines everything. Knows what's in our mouth before it comes out. So, we sometimes can misjudge people, am I right?
Yes.
We don't know what's in the heart of people. We just see what's out there, we hear what they say, and whatever. But so, the imagination of evil, that's horrible, see. If you imagine evil, there's no evil there, you've got the wrong, you started on the wrong foot to start with the big one. Questions of BFDBC now, give us a call.
Well, we have to remember we have a sinning nature from Adam.
That's exactly right. A sinning nature. Now, do all Christians believe that there's a sinning nature?
No.
Okay, some of them believe that there's just one nature, right? John MacArthur believes there's one nature, for example. He's a powerful teacher with seminary and college and radio stations all over the world. Yet in his books, he's very clear. Christians, and this I believe is not true. Christian just has one nature. And he also holds the false teaching of the lordship salvation. In order to be saved with this one nature, you have to make Jesus Christ absolute Lord of your life for you to be saved. How can an unsaved lost person make Christ Lord of your life before you're saved? Once you're saved, you should make him Lord. Put salvation first, then lordship. So these things, and we had a friend recently that believes this one nature. And he only has one nature. And when you sin, you lose your salvation, or you're not even saved in the first place. The person's a great Christian gentleman that knew the Word of God, so all of a sudden he began to sin, he thought, well, I'm not saved. He lost his salvation. I said, see, this is false. Can Christians sin?
Yes.
Yes, we can. The old nature just lost the sin, see. But can the Holy Spirit of God refrain us from sin?
Yes.
If we let Him. Walk by means of the Spirit. Yeah, after that.
Does the Bible for today Baptist Church believe in the total depravity?
Does the Bible today Baptist Church believe total depravity? Yes, absolutely, total depravity.
Okay.
And what, how do they define it, though? See, that's the difference. See, the tulip, T-U-L-I-P, the 5 points of Calvinism.
Okay.
They define tulip, total not only depravity, but total inability to be saved. Therefore, nobody can come into Christ and be saved by faith. Total inability, we say total depravity, we're lost. Completely unable to save ourselves, in that sense, total depravity.
Yeah.
But, not total inability, see. The Lord has given every one of us the will to either accept Christ or reject Christ. And if we reject Him, we go to hellfire, the lake of fire for all eternity. If we reject that Savior, that's up to us. It's our move. We must accept freedom of the will, is what we believe. But see, total depravity is different from total inability, see. I'm telling you,
I
one
heard that total inability. I have heard the total depravity.
Yes.
Because the teaching behind that, I believe I heard that, is that in terms of the book of Isaiah, there's none that seeketh after God, but not one. Mm-hmm. So we have an inability to even seek after God because there's nothing within man that really even wants God.
Yes.
Then it's only because God Himself, through the Spirit of God, draws us to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I
was told. Many of our brothers were Presbyterians, for example, others who were told in private that they would define it as total inability unless you're one of the elect. You're unable to be saved. See? You have to be one of the elect first. You can't be whosoever will let them take it a lot of fear. So that's the difference. So we've got the. Yes, Anna.
There's a hymn that goes something like, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew it was not I that sought Him. Something to that effect. I can't remember the exact.
Yes, the Lord does seek us. There's no question about that. Yeah, tell me.
If I be lifted up, I shall draw all men as myself. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that Lord Jesus Christ is drawing all men to Himself, or the Father's drawing all men to Himself?
I believe that's exactly what it means. He draws all men. See, so there's no excuse. He's drawing all men. See, the hyper-Calvinists say this. other verse say, he's not like a companionship with Father the Son to draw him.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, just the elect to come, Father has to draw. But the Lord Jesus, in your verse, I have Elizabeth on the cross, in other words, I will draw all men. The Father draws all men. So as long as we got the drawing, that's our move. It's our move. Are we going to accept or reject? It's a very simple thing. Of course, all the people don't accept that as truth. They try the other as truth. Yeah, Bill.
Some people are calling believing a work.
That's true. Well, if I can call believing a work.
That's exactly that's what I was thinking about. And every time he says that, I cringe, because believing is not something that you consciously do. Something is put in your mind. Whether somebody tells you a verse or you read a verse from the Bible, there's instantaneously a conversion. You went from one person to another person. You, an instant before, didn't know any better or didn't believe for some reason, but somehow that verse affected you. There was an instantaneous conversion that was not conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens in you. You don't. Okay. Who can explain why they believe anything at all?
Right. One verse in the New Testament would take away completely this view of Harold Camping and many others that believing is a work. It starts out this way. This is the work of God
that you believe
in Him whom He has sent. That's the, this is the work I talk about, salvation by works. This is the only work of God that you believe on Him whom He has sent. So that ties in belief and works together. Other comments, questions at bfbc.org, 856-2619-08. Well, we didn't hear very far tonight, but when you were talking about truth, the right word to execute truth is not imagine evil in our hearts against the world. And then the second part of verse 17, love no false oath. First of all, what is an oath, and then what is a false oath?
An oath is a promise, isn't it? A statement of you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm. What is a false oath?
That's a lie.
That's a lie. What does the Lord Jesus say about using oaths? Do not swear or have an oath of any kind. By heaven, it's God's throne, by the earth.
Or mitzvahs, perhaps.
Or even mitzvahs. What is a mitzvah oath?
That's swearing.
Sure. Take
his
name. Well, if it's minced, it's a little bit better. In other words, God is going down to Kosh. That's a minced. Jesus is going down to G. See?
Mm-hmm.
And hell is going down to heck. See, there's, these are the minced oaths. As you say, a lot of them, there's all kinds of minced oaths. Probably 40, 30, 40. Every little swear word has got a minced oath that sort of puts it down a notch. So it doesn't sound so bad.
I've got a little paragraph here from Harry Ironside. I wonder if I can read that.
All right, go ahead.
It speaks on what you were talking
about.
Repentance is the very opposite of meritorious experience. It is the confession that one is utterly without merit, and if he is never saved at all, it can only be through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Here is firm footing for the soul who realizes that all self-effort is but sinking sand. Christ alone is the rock of our salvation.
Good, but the higher side is very true. I think that's a
love his writings.
Very good. That's good. And he's one of our teachers at Dallas Theological Seminary, visiting Bible professor. That's good. And one of our life's teaching at the Moody Bible Institute, right?
At Moody Church.
At Moody Church. He was a pastor there. She met him. Yes, sir. Anna.
Dear Pastor Waite, hello to Mrs. Waite, Antoinette, Anne-Marie, Dan, Tammy, and Anna, Bill, and Jack, and everyone listening. Thank you for the Bible study. We are listening here in California, the Fascios.
The Fascios, your mama. Thank you. Well, I said welcome. Thank you, your mama. Thank you for calling us. That's wonderful writing to us. Any other comments or questions from questions at BFTBC.org, 856-2619-018. There's time for one or two more if you call it. So this is an important thing, that we imagine not evil, a false oath. We shouldn't take oaths in the first place. It's really, if it's false, somebody says you're going to do something and don't do it, that's a false oath. Tell us, how many things does the Lord hate in verse 17? To what things is he referring when?
The
false oath would be one. What else?
The imagination.
Imagine evil in your heart against your neighbor. Remember, isn't it? to speak to Eric Rapture, you better speak to, but these things I hate. Do all people believe the word of the Bible? Can hate at all? Some people really can hate. Well, what do they say about
non-believers say? They say that our God is God of love, and therefore there's no explanation for wars or pain and suffering in the world. They use that as wrong.
But the Lord does hate certain things that are contrary to His word. And that's a strong one. Did the Lord Jesus Christ hate anything when He was on this earth?
Yeah.
What did He hate?
Money
changers. Money changers. What did He do with it?
Did he
ask them very politely?
No.
He used a scourge and took care of them.
Yeah.
That was righteous indignation, wasn't it?
Righteous anger.
Yes. So, well, let's stop right here. This word, we didn't get very far about it, but we just talked about things that we want to talk about. Do you have any other comments or questions before we close? Yes, Anthony?
Soon, very soon, when Christ returns and all the believers will be together as one in unity. And there will be no division.
Amen.
That's
all. Yes. That's very good.
When Jesus Christ returns, there will be a lot of Jews, more than we think now.
Yes.
We'll welcome them back.
Yes, that's true. Start with Paul, Peter, and John, all the
other people. There's more and more Jews. The Orthodox Jews, it will take them a while.
Take them
a while. But they will eventually get there. It will be a very, very slow process.
See, with tribulation period, many evangelists, Jewish evangelists will lead many Jews to Christ.
Right, they will do that. They will say to themselves, after a while, the Orthodox Jews will say, we're waiting for the Messiah. We've been waiting for so long. One will say to the other, I think I found the Messiah. And one will say, who? And the other Jew would say, it's Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because he was a Jewish brother. So who else could be waiting for him?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. That's a good comment. Any other comments or questions before we close? If not, then let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this time with the sing thy praises. We could pray and bring our requests unto thee. And we could study that word, just these few verses in Zechariah, and mean so much to us that we take all of our words. We ask thee to guide us and direct us. Bring us back safely in the Lord's day. May it be a blessed time, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the preacher, help the people listening, each one of us, to glorify thee and to exalt thee in our Savior. And direct us each one as we go on about our business and wait for the coming of our Savior. Make us faithful to Him. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Thank you for coming.
Thanks for being here. Oh, my God.
Most of it was like the first time, but only Monday, I'm going to get the wire in. I'm going to take it out. I don't want to take a day, but I'm asking them to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't care how you want to come.